Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, we're just so thankful for all that you do. And Lord, we thank you that we can come here, we can worship you, we can study your word and get to know you more. And Lord, I just pray that all that we do here is a blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we'll be in Galatians. We'll be in Galatians chapter 5. Go ahead and turn there to Galatians 5. We're going to look at verses 16 through 18. While you're turning there, every day we have choices to make, right? We can choose to get up. We can choose to sleep in. We can choose to have our morning cup of coffee for the safety of others. We can choose to go to work. We could choose to stay home. Number of different things that we can choose. Sometimes those choices are evident. We know the right things to do, right? When we go into the doctor, I don't like going to see doctors, but they're there for a reason. They say, okay, Justin, you need to eat better. You need to exercise. Yes, you're right. I know that. It is sometimes difficult to be doing the things that you need to do, that we need to do. It is so much easier to go and grab a nice, greasy, double, triple bacon cheeseburger rather than go for the salad, right? But which one? Which one? I have the freedom to do either one. I can do whichever one I want to. I can also stay home, sit on the couch, watch TV, watch baseball, because that takes up a good 3 hours of my time. Or I can take and I can go exercise, go to the gym or go for a walk or go for a run, whatever I want to do. I have that choice. But what benefits me? What's better? What should I do? Because you're pulled between the two. You've got the opposites you're being pulled against. And that's kind of what Paul is saying today. In our passage, is there's a couple things we can do. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to go for this nice, delicious, double bacon? Why am I talking about foodie? See, it's always food. Or some goodies that Ron makes. Or go for something healthy, the fruits, vegetables. Choices to make. Which way are we going to go? Where are we going to leave? Because no matter what we choose to do, people will see what we follow. People will see what we follow through how we present ourselves, through how we talk, through how we act, through how we respond to situations. People will see it. It will be evident in your life. So Galatians 5, 16 through 18. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. And it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these oppose to one another. They keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." In our passage last week, We see that Paul left the people of Galatians with a command. He left them with the command to love one another. He said, you are to love one another. And how many of you have been doing that last week? How many of you have loved somebody through what you say, do, act? That was your homework. And we didn't do it all 7 days, did we? And he told them not, you need to love each other and not devour one another, not attack one another. Today, Paul's making a comparison between being led by the Spirit and gratifying the desires of the flesh. So the first thing that Paul tells him is to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And it seems pretty evident. You know, the word walk, we're going to look at that just a little bit. We're going to look at the word walk. Walking is a way of life. Now, in this passage, this word walk, it is very important. Why? Because it is a command verb in the imperative mood for you people who like grammar and English. So what he's saying is, he's not saying that, hey, I think it's a good idea if you walk by the Spirit. Hey, maybe you should do this. No, he's saying, you walk. He's telling them to walk. He's not giving them the option. He says, you walk by the Spirit. And we also notice it's also in the present tense. Boy, way too much English. Going back to fifth grade all over again. Which means we need to be presently walking continually. It should be a habit that we need to be doing. He's saying, walk. Now, walking is how we can get from place to place. If we don't drive, we walk. Or some people might run. I don't know who those are. But it's one way to get from place to place. When one walks, when you walk, you are getting closer and closer to your goal or destination. I have been told I walk back and forth up here, and I still go nowhere sometimes. Just run a path in the carpet. Now, it's not like a treadmill. Because when you're on a treadmill, what are you doing? You're staying in one place. You may go 5 miles, you may go 3 miles, but you're not gaining any distance. You make no physical progress, distance-wise. So we need to be out there walking, not stationary. Out there walking. Paul told the people there to walk. And by doing so, when you walk, you make progress. You put ground behind you when you walk forward. Especially when one walks by the Spirit, when one lives by the Spirit, and they're sensitive to the Spirit and His calling. So when you walk by the Spirit, Paul is saying that the believer is to submit to the Holy Spirit and His guidance. It's allowing yourself to listen to His calling. Remember, put on our listening ears. Listening, very important. Listening ears. So we can be sensitive to Him. And that is what he's talking to the believers. That is what the believer is doing. Because the unbeliever does not have the Holy Spirit. The believer has a Holy Spirit that we need to be sensitive to. And when the believer does this, as he's walking in the Spirit, he's walking closer and closer to God. When we're being led by Him. The believer's commanded to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because He is the source of all holy living. He is the one that guides, illuminates, convicts, and seals. He guides us. He guides us when we listen to Him in all areas of our life. The Holy Spirit will work in the believer's life. Now, one really cool thing that He does is He will go ahead of us and will open up doors and opportunities for us, and we need to take those opportunities. So if you have this feeling to evangelize to somebody, share the gospel with somebody, what the Holy Spirit's going to do is, if it's on His time and His will, He is going to go to that unsaved person. He's going to prepare that person's heart to receive the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and He's also going to work through the person delivering the message, giving him the right things to say, the right things to do, so that person will be more receptive to the gospel message. You see how He works through the lives of the believer and how He guides them, and then He will also prepare the hearts of people that need to hear the message. He also illuminates. He illuminates. Talk a little bit about this. He will open up our eyes and our heart when we read the Scriptures. He will show us things. Yes, we can read through the Bible. And if you think that's all you need to do is read through it once, well, you never really read through it, because the more and more you read through it, the more and more you're going to get out of it, the more and more it's going to convict you, which is another thing that He does. It brings about conviction. And when you read the Scriptures, and if you read them just for warm fuzzies, are you reading the Bible? How many of you can read the Bible and just think of all good about yourself? Yeah, I'm a good person because of what the Scriptures say. Scriptures say I'm a good person. If you are, I want to know which Bible you're reading. It should be convicting. It should be showing you what sin is. And that's kind of what this passage did to me this past week. As I was reading through it and studying it, which way am I going to walk? Am I being led by the Spirit, or am I going ways of the world? It opened up my eyes to the things that I was doing and not doing. And that's what the Word of God does. It should convict you to show you and to show you what a horrible person you are in front of a holy God. That's what it does to me. It shows me where I stand before God. Shows me where I fall short. Where I need to step it up. See, when we rely on the Spirit and we follow Him, He makes things more clear. Makes things more clear for us. He also secures the believer. He secures the believer. He seals the believer until the believer is called home to God. It's that image again, that wax seal that they put on, and that can't be opened until it gets to the recipient of that letter. And we belong to God, those who are in Christ, and when we go home to Him, we will be with Him. You see, the Holy Spirit draws people to God, not to Himself. He points them to Christ. He points them to God the Father. Next, Paul gives reason to walk by the Spirit. For he tells them that if they walk by Him, they will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, this word gratify in the Greek is telelehu, which means complete. It means finish or accomplish. The idea here, if the believer is not walking by the Spirit, he will complete the desires of the flesh. He will yield completely to man's sinful desires. Now, man is not immune to the ways of the old self. One will not be perfect in this life. God did not promise at the moment that Christ entered your life that you will be perfect. But boy, wouldn't that be nice? You go to bed one night and wake up just a perfect person. Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's why they call it the sanctification process. God working through us at a moment by moment. Not a day by day, but a moment by moment, because He gives us opportunities all the time to follow Him. And the desires of the flesh are extremely attractive. They're the ways of the world. The believer needs to conquer those. And they will conquer those when they focus on the things of God, when they got their mindset straight. No, I'm not going to follow that because that's not good for me. I need to go over here because that's where the Spirit's leading me. See, Paul gave the command to follow the Spirit's lead. When they do this, they neglect the desires of the flesh. So when you're focusing on God, how are you going to think? On His ways. On His ways. Now Paul, he's going to compare the two lifestyles. Verse 17. It says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these two oppose each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Paul's saying you cannot do both. You cannot serve God and serve the world. You cannot do both. Yes, you want to do one or the other. And that's where we get into this. The Christian life is a struggle. It's a struggle. It's a continual battle. You have to be ready to fight off the things you need to fight off. It's a struggle. See, you're getting pulled from doing one thing and from doing another. Yes, you want to be a part of this world, and then again, you want to be a part of God. See, prior to salvation, how did we behave? We focused on ourselves. We focused on the things that we wanted to do. We focused on our own salvation. I can work hard enough, I can get to heaven. I can be a part of the world. I can go hang out with the guys and do what sinful guys do. Would I care about it? Not really. I can do what I want to do prior to salvation. I can follow the ways of the world. And sin, of course, was fun. Sin was fun because I had a good time doing it. Is it beneficial? Were there consequences to sin? Well, you better believe it. There are consequences to our actions, to the things that we choose to do when we fall in that way. Because, again, we all have a past. We all have a point prior to salvation to where we served ourselves. So we are not, lack of better words, we're not immune to that old self. And I've heard some people say that there is a part, and I don't agree with this phraseology, but there's a part of us, they call it the unsaved part. The part of us that remembers what it was like back then. That kind of wants to go back to that. Well, I want to go back to that, and it was fun, so we kind of justify that reasoning for backsliding. So there's a part of us that wants to follow the world because that's what we know, that's kind of how we grew up. And the other part of us wants to say, no, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I've got to follow Him. And not the ways of the world. There's a constant struggle. See, and if the person is in Christ, they need to focus on the things of God. They need to focus on His calling, on His work, and not the desires of the flesh. See, God made it evident. He told us what sin was. He told us that we shouldn't be doing this, this, or this. We need to be doing this and this. He showed us what sin was. And when we focus on Jesus, when we focus on God, and we are sensitive to the Spirit, and we walk towards Him and not away from Him, we can be used more by God and be a better witness for Him. See, it's a constant struggle for the followers of Christ. Whether you want to admit it, you're being pulled two different ways. Sometimes we feel it, and sometimes we're so lost in the world we don't feel it anymore. It can consume us. We have one part of us that will not completely go away. We have that sinful part. The old part, the skeletons in the closet still kind of thinking. It always tries to get us to go against the will of God. And we're going to hear two voices. We're going to hear both of them, I believe, sometimes are what we want to do, both ways. We've got to choose one. Which is going to be the loudest voice? Are we going to have the ways of the world guiding us or the things of God? You see, if we let the world lead us, that's going to be the loudest voice. And that's when we neglect God, neglect His calling. See, people will see who you follow. That will be evident in all that you do, because they're going to know if you follow the world. They're going to know if you follow Christ. It's going to be made clear through the actions that we do, through the things that we say. How are people going to see you when you're out there? Are they going to see Jesus through your actions in life? Or are they going to see you following the ways of the world, no different than anybody else? Billy Sunday, the baseball evangelist and reformer, never spared himself, nor those he wanted to help in the vigor of his attacks on sins. He thundered against the evils of the gay 90s and through the Great Depression. He preached Christ as the only answer to man's need until his death in 1935. He said, "I am against sin. I will kick it as long as I've got a foot. I'll fight as long as I've got a fist. I'll butt as long as I've got a head. I'll bite as long as I've got a tooth. But when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory." And it goes home. Who are you going to follow? The ways of the world or being led by the Spirit? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just thank you so much for what you have done, that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. It was His work that saves. Nothing we can do. It's just faith in Him. And through him, we can spend eternity with you. Lord, I pray for each one of us here. I just pray that you open up our hearts to your calling. Make us sensitive to your ways, to your truths. Help us to follow you, to neglect the ways of the world which lead to death. Help us to focus on you and who you are and your ways and your calling. In Jesus' name, amen.